broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour 2 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. And because of the brilliant checks and balances put in place, inspired by the Almighty, by our founders, we don't need to have a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We can have a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, applying the simple principles the founders put in place. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest today, Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good to be back, Sam.
Hey, man, union bosses are ignoring right-to-work protections. I guess Kroger workers getting a big win, huh?
Yeah, well, we, you know, this is an ongoing challenge, of course, but we filed some charges on behalf of Indiana employees, and we finally got their dues back. They, of course, Indiana has a right-to-work law, but the union there was refusing to honor their resignation. The right-to-work law says they don't have to be part of the union and they can't be forced to pay dues. The union was collecting dues anyway, and and Kroger, the grocery store chain, was taking those dues and sending them to the union. And so we've won that money back with a little bit of interest for these grocery employees.
I think that's fantastic news, and I think that sets the stage for what we expect to happen all over the country as more Americans realize the importance of living in a right-to-work state. If they weren't in a right-to-work state, would that even have been able to happen?
No. That's exactly an illustration of what right-to-work does. So, you know, in a non-right-to-work state, you know, what would happen is the most they could do is they have to go through a considerably more complex process, and all they could do is get back the money that would go to union politics and lobbying and that sort of thing. You know, we've won some very important Supreme Court cases that make sure that nobody in America can be forced to have their, you know, to be paying money and union dues that goes towards union politics. But, of course, unfortunately, they can still be forced to pay for union dues for other things, things that they still don't support, don't want to be part of, you know, union official salaries, the contract ratification, that sort of thing. You know, and these contracts, it's important to remember. You know, we always hear from union officials and apologists for big labor. Well, you know, if they're benefiting, quote, benefiting from the contract, they should pay. But it's not even true that most of these workers benefit. You know, generally what happens is, you know, a union comes in and they negotiate a one-size-fits-all contract. And, you know, that's going to help some workers at the expense of others. A perfect example is, you know, you see...
That's kind of like Obamacare, huh?
Yeah, it's very much, you know, redistribution, and it's top down, federally imposed, you know, one size fits all, and so, you know, you'll have a great example of it that I like to illustrate is, you know, teacher tenure rules. We always hear about teacher tenure and seniority rules, and of course, you know, that's a great benefit if you're the most senior person there, and the law says that you're the last person who can be laid off if let's say the school district is shrinking and they just need less teachers. You know, that's a good benefit for you if you're the person who's been there the longest amount of time. But if you're the person who's been there the least amount of time, that is specifically detrimental to your livelihood. I mean, it literally, the union has negotiated a contract that says you're going to be the very first person to be laid off. Doesn't matter if you're the best teacher, the most effective, you're teaching, you know, courses that they really need.
And they pretend they represent you the same, don't they? I mean, they pretend they represent both of you.
From you in the 26 non-right-to-work states, your money will literally be used to negotiate, to take that position that you should be the very first person fired. And so it's a, you know, there's of course a lot of other examples, and you could talk about people who would prefer to have merit pay versus people who, you know, would prefer, you know, a pension. And, you know, a lot of times now we see younger employees say, well, I don't, you know, want to pay into this big pension fund. I don't think that money's going to be there when I actually retire. I'm better off taking a little more money now and a little less, you know, in the pension. But these are all sorts of issues, and every individual is in the best position to decide what's best for themselves, what's best for their family, you know, what's best for their life and their goals and their values. And, of course, the union comes in and disregards all of that, imposes something on everyone, whether they like it or not. And then, of course, the real insult in non-right-to-work states is that everyone is forced to pay for that and subsidize.
Yeah, now I want to kind of point out something that I think is important too. You mentioned a lot of the differences between a non-right to work state and a right to work state. And the question is, do you live in a right to work state, ladies and gentlemen? If not, you ought to immediately. And I agree with those differences that you point out, but I want to just kind of mention that there's a fundamental whole climate difference as well when it comes to the likelihood of people being able to stand up, the willingness of people to realize and learn about and know their rights. What I mean is the whole climate between the right-to-work states and the non-right-to-work states is different, in addition to just, quote, the law differences. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is, and I think part of that is, you know, a right-to-work state is a state that has the political will or has had the political will to go and repeal this, you know, federally given special power that union bosses have. You know, it's this very weird kind of, you know, reverse, inverted federalism.
It's like special privilege, isn't it?
Is the way federal labor law works. So the federal government, through the National Labor Relations Act, says unions have the power to force employees to have a contract that has a forced dues clause that says you will pay dues or fees to the union or you will lose your job. And but then one of the reforms that they did in the Taft-Hartley reforms in the 50s was they said, well, but we'll let states repeal that power. So then all these states had to go and pass right-to-work laws. And so if you're the kind of state that says, well, we don't want, you know, this federally imposed forced dues in our state, we want to have a state where every individual gets that choice. Yeah, that's also going to change the, you know, the political climate, the type of you know, politicians and the type of state where you elect people who and demand that they support the individual rights of workers is of course going to have a different sort of climate, political, cultural climate that has more respect for individual liberty. I think that's definitely the case.
All right, I want to bring forward this big, huge budget, $4 trillion budget Barack has proposed to the Republicans. The Republicans are saying now it's a non-starter. Nevertheless, they backed a $3.7 trillion budget last time. The likelihood of them rejecting the increases are pretty slim, especially when they say $500 million of it or more. No, I guess it's $500 billion, will be used for infrastructure build-out. The interesting thing is most of these kinds of jobs that will derive from all this end up becoming union jobs, right?
It, definitely. And, you know, it's even worse. It's not just that, you know, there happens to be a lot of jobs in industries that tend to be more unionized. I mean, certainly the construction industry is about 80% non-union. But when it comes to the big, you know, big projects, highway construction, infrastructure, that type of thing, you tend to have the larger unionized firms that are there. But on top of it, you've got a lot of either laws or sometimes not even actual laws, more rulemaking or the way these bids are constructed that they basically exclude non-union contracting firms from bidding on them. We have, of course, Davis-Bacon, which is a, you know, a prevailing wage law, but really what it does is it says that you have to be, you know, you have to have a union and have a union wage structure in order to bid on this contract. Now that's not good for the taxpayers, and it's discriminatory against the 80% of construction workers who you know aren't part of a union, don't want to be part of a union, but it ends up being a big payday for union officials who of course like those, you know, jobs where they get to force people to pay dues. And so that's, you know, absolutely, you know, I mean, we can talk about how, you know, maybe there is a need for, you know, infrastructure investment in America, but every time you hear it, especially when it comes out of Barack Obama's mouth, it just sounds like, you know, funneling more dues to his buddies in organized labor who, you know, we know have spent literally billions of dollars over the last 4 years, you know, lobbying and on politics in support of Barack Obama and a lot of his positions. Many of them have absolutely nothing to do with, you know, the lives of rank and file workers.
But, all right, Patrick Simmons with us, ladies and gentlemen. Do the Republicans have a plan to stand up for your right to choose where and how and the details of your work? Huh? We'll talk about it. Patrick Simmons on your radio, righttowork.org.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, agree or disagree with Barack's plans for the country, you can't say that he's too shy to share them. A little bold, to say the least, planning to spend more money than you can shake a stick at. $4 trillion budget, $500 million, almost a half a trillion bucks. It's really $478 billion in infrastructure. Most of those jobs are going to end up being union jobs, which Barack loves. But the Republicans say it's a non-starter, but usually they end up coming to the table and caving. Do the Republicans really have a plan to make sure that you and I not only can, I don't want them to create a job for me, I just want them to make a level playing field, get out of the way and not regulate me to death. Patrick Simmons. Do you know, do the Republicans have a plan? Because, man, they got elected a couple of months ago, and I don't really even know what their plans are, sir.
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to the budget, yeah, I'm afraid you're probably right that, you know, they'll criticize it, and then, you know, ultimately they'll agree to, I don't know, 90-something percent of it or whatever. It's, you know, it's kind of a dance that I think we see a lot, you know, out of both parties in Washington. But one thing that, you know, that is a real plan in terms of, you know, respecting individual freedom that we just saw is just a few days ago, Steve King introduced the National Right to Work Act in the House. Rand Paul is expected to introduce it in the Senate sometime this month. And so, you know, that is a important thing. And if you look at the National Right to Work Committee website, or if you go to Steve King's House website, you can see there are 76 co-sponsors on it who were signed up from when it was introduced. And we're going to be looking to add to it. So if you know, I would encourage everyone listening to check, see if their congressman is on that list. If they are, maybe contact them, call them, send them an email, say good job being in support of the National Right to Work Act, which, of course, just repeals the elements of federal law that authorize forced dues for union bosses. If they're not on that list, take a look and ask them to why they're not, and tell them they should be. So that's you know, one reform that we can certainly do. We know it's popular. You know, when we poll the American people, 75-80% of Americans support the principle that while every worker should be allowed to join a union, it's their right to join and to pay dues to the union. But
by all means, sure,
it should be forced.
We're like pro-choice on the unions, man.
Exactly. You know, it's, they should be a private organization. If you and I, if we want to join the, you know, the National Rifle Association or the
pro-choice,
the Elks Club or anything else, we can do that. But no one should be forced to join a private organization.
I'm almost pro-choice on everything except for pro-death, Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. You hear, you know, the left, and they talk about, you know, being pro-choice, but certainly when it comes to unions, you know, they're for mandatory unionization and dues payment.
All right, what else should we be keeping our eye on the ball relating to in this Republican Congress? You would think, hey, man, a lot of the conservatives are kind of sitting back going, thank heavens we've solved that. All we got to do is get a Republican president in 2016 and the world's going to be good. Last time they had control of the White House, the House, the Senate, and more appointees to the courts, they still failed us. And so I don't have a lot of personal hope if history repeats itself. Nevertheless, hopefully you and I can insert a couple of tidbits that will actually gain ground. Are there anything else we should keep an eye on the ball for?
Well, you know, in terms of legislation, obviously, you know, as long as Barack Obama's in the White House, you know, any meaningful laws that are going to get through that might curtail union boss powers, you know, the truth is they're not going to be signed into law. And unfortunately, you know, there's unlikely to be enough votes to override a veto. But, well, I would say a couple things. One, it's still important to make these votes, to force everyone on the record, because, you know, if there is a new president next time, there will be a new president in 2 years, and depending on who it is, it's important to keep building and letting everyone know where everyone stands, where every congressperson and senator stands on these issues. Something like right to work, it should be an easy position for politicians to take. Like I was just telling you, it's a very popular position, you know, all around the country. Of course, you know, union bosses spend a lot of money on politics, though, and they buy a lot of support that way. But, you know, I think one thing we'd really like to see is a vote on the National Right to Work Act this session of Congress, put everyone on record, and then, you know, let the American people kind of make their own judgment when it comes to everyone's reelection and whether they're going to support someone or not. You know, we know that that where they stand on right to work is an important element to that. In terms of other acts that can take place, right now we are seeing The Congressional Review Act is basically a tool that Congress has to look at the regulations that that the various kind of federal agencies pass. You know, the way they can, it's meant to be used is it can force the president to take a you know, to sign, basically to can undo a federal agency's rulemaking. Now, they're trying to do this right now with the National Labor Relations Board's ambush election rule. That's a rule that basically lets unions spring an election on workers, on unsuspecting workers and on unsuspecting employers with very little notice. It leaves a lot of questions like who actually is eligible to be in the union until after the election. It's kind of a crazy idea. It's like voting for congressman without knowing if you're eligible to vote yet.
Well, don't worry. It's kind of like passing a bill so you can find out what's in it, sir. I mean, it's pretty standard.
It's exactly like that. And, you know, the idea, of course, is unions want to stifle debate on whether, you know, unionization is a good thing or a bad thing. They don't want there to be time for independent workers to organize and ask questions and educate their coworkers. And so, but basically what's this, and this rulemaking has already gone through, you know, there's the lawsuits against it, two lawsuits already, you know, those are going to be a pretty uphill battle to overturn this, because unfortunately federal law gives a lot of power to the National Labor Relations Board to make these rules. But the Congressional Review Act will hopefully at the very least delay them from going into effect. Like I said, you know, we don't expect Barack Obama to sign.
But one of the big areas we can make a difference, whether Barack signs something or not, there's two things of importance. One, by pushing these appropriate acts, Steve King in the House, Rand Paul in the Senate, to promote the National Right to Work Act. It is an educational opportunity for Americans to understand what's at stake. And every time we work on it and every time we expose them, we gain ground, number one. Number two, we can really push to defund some of these operations by Barack. You know what? He can do what he wants, but if he doesn't have money, we can virtually shut him down at the House level if we have enough people with guts, Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's going to be the real question. Hopefully there's enough people in Congress willing to stand up and say, you know, no, we're going to draw a line. These are, you know, you can't spend money on, you know, forcing workers into unions or implementing, you know, this ambush election rule or just funding the National Labor Relations Board, which has become so radical under the Barack Obama board in terms of pushing aside any semblance of, you know, balancing the rights of individuals versus you know,
it's almost like it's created a shadow government, really, because it's so lawless and it's kind of an agency unto itself now, and it needs to be reined in for sure.
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, the you know, Congress has the power of the purse. They're supposed to be able to you know, use that to curtail out of control executive branch power, and hopefully they'll do that.
You might have veto power, Barack Obama, but we can have veto funding power, and we're going to use it big time. Just as hardcore as you're going to get on the veto pen, we're going to get on the defunding opportunity. That's where we can have a hoe to row. Or row to hoe, sorry. All right, thanks, Patrick Simmons, righttowork.org. Become a member today. We appreciate you, sir.
All right, thank you, Sam.
There he goes. Patrick Simmons, always doing a great job on your radio. Sam and Kurt McDonald's coming up next, huh?
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
For breakfast, whether you like scrambled eggs with pancakes, egg McMuffins, sausage biscuits with egg, or our delicious bagel sandwiches, we've got something hot, fresh, and made to order just for you. And remember, no breakfast is complete without coffee and the cool, fresh-squeezed taste of Minute Maid orange juice. Start off your day, every day, with breakfast variety at McDonald's.
Yeah, Kurt, they're giving out smiles and hugs and everything else, aren't they?
Down at McDonald's. Yeah, it's you know how their, what do they call it? Their kind of motto is loving it.
I'm loving it.
I don't know if you knew that, you know, anyway, but I'm loving it, though, kind of to go along. I think that's right, yeah. You know, right. I mean, I figured you'd know better than me, but I'm just saying that it's something to do with love.
Back years ago, they used to say, we do it all for you. When I was a kid, I used to wonder if they ate my food, too, but just wondering.
But anyway, apparently, you know, they've got kind of this new thing going on up through Valentine's that basically every so often, and I guess it's not for everybody, but they say they randomly accept hugs and compliments as meal payments. So they, you know, with this whole loving it thing, now they're showing what that loving is. They say the fast food launched their Pay with Lovin' campaign, which gives selected customers a chance to pay for their meal in compliments, a phone call to a loved one, a fist bump, or other forms of lovin'. That's according to a news release. I wonder if we went in there to get some food, Sam, if it would turn out like that. I suppose it would just be the normal deal. But anyway,
they'd probably do a quick background check on you and say, hey, we ain't loving it when you're here. I'm telling you that right now. You're keeping arms around here, young man.
The drive-through is not included in the campaign.
Why not?
So you've got to go.
You just give someone
inside.
A big old smooch through the car window, Kurt. Come on.
But, you know, I will simply say this, that, you know, hats off to them. Just, you know, kind of promote the idea of, you know, friendlier kind of society. And, you know, they actually are doing it with some of their own money, you know, you could say. I mean, you know, you're getting some good coverage from media that you don't even have to buy. So I think it's a smart move on their part.
It's a smart move. I'm not really tempted to go. And I guess my response to it all, Kurt, is, are you going to take your love to McDonald's for Valentine's Day? I mean, after all, you can probably get a hug from some guy with his pants on the ground and stuff like that, and your wife can get a free meal.
I don't have any plans for that.
Come on, Kurt.
No plans.
Why don't you get on the modern deal, man?
I know. I'm just not very in.
Dude, you can give your wife like a McDonald's salad and eat healthy, Kurt. Come on.
Yeah, I could. And, you know, I see some moves by McDonald's in the right direction.
Give her a fish fillet and everything. Come on.
Yeah.
You could ask for a McDonald's buffet. You could tell them how to go buffet style for V-Day.
Yeah.
And not only that, it costs a little more money to raise kids these days, Kurt. I guess maybe people aren't going to McDonald's, huh? Just saying.
Oh, yeah. I saw this and I just thought, well, you know, we've seen these stories. We've seen these stories where they tell you, man, you know, you don't want to have a kid because it's just too doggone expensive.
I heard that.
How in the world are you going
to
I bet you if I could take
all my kids to McDonald's and I could say, you know what, I'm here trying to feed my family. Why don't you just give me some hugs? Come on. Just start loving on these little kids and feeding them and stuff. Come on. What if I should try that, Kurt? I could do like a YouTube video of that. Just rolling, just kid after kid after kid.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Say we're multiplying and replenishing the earth. You love us for that, don't you? Why don't you just spread the love? Just share the love, you know?
You remember the stories.
A little kid would walk up to the cashier and go, will you be my Valentine? See what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, but you remember the story. That's right. They tell you, hey, man, you know, if you take a kid from birth, clear through, I don't know if they're talking college.
No, college, buddy. No. That's just through 18, Kurt.
Okay, they give you through 18.
College costs more.
Seems like it's like
250
a quarter of a million.
Yeah, 238,000 or some odd number. Yeah,
for the whole ride, I guess you could say.
And I know for a fact it doesn't cost me that much for one reason.
Yeah,
I ain't got that much cash, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
in this CNBC story, Sam, the headline reads, $1 million a month to raise the kids. I guess you got to raise them pretty high that way. But anyway, they say it's getting expensive, especially if they're used to taking private jets to their five homes. I guess they've got some kind of divorce battle, which is always sad to see. But they got a hedge fund billionaire, Ken Griffin. He's a Chicago hedge fund, by the way, billionaire. He says in court papers his wife, and D.S. Griffin wants $1 million a month for child-related expenses.
I don't see why she shouldn't get it, Kurt. I mean, it's expensive these days to raise kids.
And this author says, how can three kids under age 10 cost $1 million a month? In his filing, I guess, he said that she's demanding money for her own lifestyle under the guise of the children's expenses. He said those include $300,000 a month for private jet travel. Well, you know, I mean, I can see her point there.
Compared to Barack, that's nothing. I mean, Malia's got it good, bro.
That's right. Good point. $160,000 a month for vacation rentals. I mean, you know, what's a kid going
to
do?
Again, compared to Joe Biden, that ain't nothing.
$60,000 a month for office space and professional staff. I mean, you know, you got to have that.
The kids need the professional staff, especially. You got to have somebody do the Mickey D's runs. Come on.
Yeah, good point. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of a sad, but I don't know, funny story. I suppose they'll make some kind of deal. But it's just
don't worry.
Crazy.
This chick's suing for $1 million a month. Some folks are going to McDonald's to get hugs and. Well, other folks are getting busted, Kurt.
Well, yeah. One of our favorite, Al Sharpton. I mean,
Good old Al.
If you put him.
I just love Al, right? I just can't decide if I love Al Gore or Al Sharpton better.
I know. The two Al's. I mean, I'm a real Al, supporter, I think. But anyway.
Al have to keep figuring on it, you know?
They say, for some reason, Sam, his businesses have been dissolved. according to the, now this is all they say because of failure to comply with tax rules. Now, you know, the thing I find interesting is I don't remember hearing about Big Al getting, incarcerated. Do you?
He ought to just call the BlackBerry, Kurt. Get a hold of Barry on there and... Barack, yeah. They're closing down my businesses for failure to pay taxes. I think it's nothing but a racial agenda here. And he could probably shut that down pretty quick if he knew what he was doing.
This is all according to the National Review. Who?
Al needs O.J. Simpson's lawyer, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
What's that guy's name?
You know, he doesn't have the money to pay for taxes, but he could get old, I can't remember his names, but anyway, they say records show that Sharpton's beleaguered for-profit entities often overlap and intertwine. Oh, really? Bottom
Did
line
you just say
is,
intertwine?
Yeah, that's what they said in
All
the
right.
story. But anyway, he clearly appears, they say, based on the information that's available to us, to have a history of noncompliance with tax obligations.
Hey, wasn't it Robert Kardashian, Kurt? Wasn't that the lawyer for good old OJ?
Right, no? I don't know, one of those big shots. But
was that like Kim's dad or something,
Sharpton,
Kurt?
Oh, I don't know. I can't really say. But they say he's, Big Al's having troubles. I don't know if you want to start a GoFundMe.
Oh, the other guy's name is Robert Shapiro, Kurt, just so you know.
Shapiro, that does sound right. Yeah.
Other one, Johnny Cochran. We got a whole list of good guys up there.
Yeah, we sure hate to see Big Al with tax problems. Maybe he'll be on the bandwagon now for lowering taxes, Sam. You know what I mean?
But I don't understand why the big problem with Al about this. I mean, look, Kurt, it doesn't matter. When you're engaged in a worthy cause such as Al, buddy, I don't know why they just derail him
such
with like the little...
servant to the country.
Yeah.
You know?
They should just get with the low-level accountants and work it out and just leave Al alone. I mean, he's got important work.
Great point.
Going on. Mm-hmm. I just don't really get why the hullabaloo.
Yep. Doggone.
All right. I'm going to talk about men and women, Kurt.
You are.
Yep. We're going to do it in seconds on your radio. Sam and Kurt, News the Networks refuse to use straight ahead on your radio, brought to you in part by... TetonSports.com, on RepublicBroadcasting.org and LibertyRoundtable.com, and your favorite talk station.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought, we learned, We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Ed from Kentucky wants to chime in a tidbit. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. I love your show.
Well, thank you, sir. If it's good, blame it on Kurt. If it's bad, blame it on me, okay?
Hey, no. I don't blame nobody. let's blame those crooks in Washington.
Amen to that. Go ahead, sir.
I'm a disabled Army veteran. And
let me just stop you, Ed, and thank you for your service, sir.
Well, anytime, guys, anytime. And the way things are looking, I may actually have to truly defend this nation. Again. Let's hope not, but that's looks like the way it's going.
Agreed on all counts.
I just got a tidbit of information here that people have forgotten over the
decades. Do me a favor, Ed, talk a little bit further away from your phone and keep going.
People of the United States, let us remember that the voters of this great nation that I served, my brother served, my father served, you are the government. You are the power. The schmucks in Washington and in the Pentagon have forgotten this. Find your representative, your state and your federal representative's phone numbers, and politely and kindly remind them of this. That if they wish to have another term in office, it's your vote that's going to put them there or make them unemployed. That all this hinky hogwash crap has got to stop. The overspending, the disgracing of American veterans, the killing of American veterans, the killing of Americans unnecessarily has got to stop. You have that power, use it. You use that little smartphone, use it for the right reasons. Call your representatives. Let them know you know what's going on, that you are aware and you're awake, and it's not going to stand no more. And politely remind them of 1776 and 1812. Gentlemen, Yahweh and Joshua bless you and your families, and thank you very much.
Thank you so much for your time, sir. Thanks for the call. Kurt, I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't have said it better myself, sir. You want to respond?
Nice work.
Yeah, amen.
Say hey.
He's right as rain. And I know a lot of people are saying, hey, man, the time for peaceful negotiations is over. And my response is, I don't think so. I think we've got to use all avenues to the best of our ability. And we can restore America, but it's going to take our greater numbers. It's going to take Americans to get serious. All right, Kurt. Men and women find their social signals misinterpreted by the opposite sex. There's a big study about this. What do you think, Kurt? Do you ever?
This is a brand new thing.
Yeah. Son. Oh, buddy, they're figuring this out now.
is this kind of a follow-up piece from like Time when they said that men and women are different?
Yeah.
You know,
except it's more detailed, Kurt.
Very useful.
Let me tell you the problem. Here's the problem, Kurt. Mm-hmm. A woman just tries to be nice to a man. Okay. So she might like be engaged in the conversation, and she might actually you know, touch his arm or something like that. Well, instantly to the man, that means she wants sex, Kurt. The women say that's not always true. Okay, now the opposite's true. When a man's interested in a woman and she thinks he wants love and friendship and a relationship, and that's not always true. He might just want sex, Kurt. Now, I want to trash the study.
This is scary.
For, again, these people are, what do you call it, Kurt, when you, just paint with such a broad brush like that? What do they call that?
Yeah, that would you, let's see.
There's a word for that, for crying out loud.
Anyway, it's all right. It'll come to us.
Anyway, it's when you basically just back the status quo. In other words, women belong barefoot in the kitchen kind of a thing. You know, it's the...
Yeah.
Well, what's the word for that? Anyway, that's what they've done in this study, Kurt. And I submit to you that the only reason this is an issue is because of the immorality of our nation. Okay? In other words, every man shouldn't be walking around going, every woman wants sex if she looks at me. And every woman shouldn't run around going, oh, my gosh, he loves me. He wants to marry me and have, you know, have babies together. And okay, look, if you are abstinent until marriage and then you're only involved in a sexual relationship with the person that you are legally and lawfully married to, and you have complete fidelity to that marriage, then 90% of this, quote, misinterpretation stuff would go away, Kurt. Okay, men and women find their social signals misinterpreted by the opposite sex. Okay, that's one thing. If we were to have those appropriate relationships like that, not everybody on the prowl for whatever, right? That's number one. Number two, if we were to treat people as we did in yesteryear, in the good old days in America, Kurt, where you wouldn't even really want to be seen with a woman alone because it would put her character in question, Kurt. And you wouldn't want to at all misinterpret a signal. In fact, what you might say is, if you thought that she might be interested in you, instead of thinking, my gosh, she wants to go to the bedroom, Kurt, you might think something like this. May I call on you sometime? And I guess
you might with a proper introduction.
Well, good point. That's a valid point. And without a proper introduction, she wouldn't even talk to you, Kurt, because it would be too forward.
Great point.
Okay, so and I don't mean to focus on the sexual aspect of this, Kurt, except to make the point that a shame on these authors and shame on the whole premise of the study. We should have chivalrous men. We should have men that believe in morality and integrity and believe in the honor of a woman and vice versa. We should save the sexual relationship for the bounds the Lord has set, which is in the bonds of legal and lawful marriage and complete fidelity to that. The purpose is to bring a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, together for time, forever, to bring them closer together and to invite children into the wonderful familial relationship, Kurt. And this idea that Kurt's going to walk into the store and all of a sudden a girl's going to look at him and he's going to think, oh my gosh. Okay, that's just crazy talk. The whole idea is just absurd. Now, it might be modern day perversion, Kurt. I don't deny that. It might be modern day sin on display everywhere. But it's not what America should stand for. We should step back and stand on morals. So instead of the headline saying men and women find social signals misinterpreted by the opposite sex, maybe it should say we long for the return or of the days in America when most men and women had a moral compass. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not naive enough to think people didn't do wrong things back then, too. But it wasn't societally the norm or accepted. Okay? You didn't even look at women wrong then. Women were modest and covered up then. Appropriate relationships among normal society. Now, sure, you could go to the dregs of society and go to the bars and the boat docks and whatever. And I'm not saying everybody was perfectly in control of their behavior and such. Okay, I'm not naive enough to believe that. But I am telling you, as a whole, we had a societal norm or expectations for those who were in civilized society where there was an appropriate way to treat women, an appropriate way to treat men. And instead of a woman thinking, oh my gosh, this guy is super like a hunk and sexy or whatever, or I, you know, whatever. She was thinking, man, he sure seems like a nice guy. He opened the door for me. I wouldn't mind spending some time with a boy like that. And the boy's thinking, you know what? I got to carry her packages today. She's so nice. I hope one day I might actually invite her to dinner. And maybe if her parents would approve, and maybe if I get a chance to be introduced to her. Whatever. All I'm telling you is we had a whole different ballgame, Kurt. And this kind of an idea, this belligerent, bogus study, wouldn't even be on the table for discussion. It would be absurd. And that's where we ought to go back to, Kurt.
Yeah. You know, there's a current or an old movie. You know, of course there is, right, Sam?
Current old movies? Anyway, I've never heard of those before.
Well, I'm just saying a movie. It's called Princess Bride. In Princess Bride, you can see how the young man, you know, he replies to the girl with as you wish each time he's asked to do something, whatever it is. And you could tell it's, you know, a nice thing between them. And later she realizes that when he says as you wish, he means that he loves her. So, you know.
Yeah, hold on. He also means that he's willing to serve her and do things for her.
Yeah, that's right.
Not because in modern days he's just some wimp. Not because he wants to be her slave.
That's exactly right.
But because he genuinely believes that's the way to show love. And I guess as Valentine's Day comes up, Kurt, I want to talk about more and more and more of these. While, you know, Mike Huckabee, who I agree with, is saying, hey, we shouldn't have men and women swearing in the workplace. And then Megan on Fox goes off and talks about how women and their exploits, etc. And then this study about men and women are misinterpreting each other's signals. I want to go back to a time when it would be easy to understand the signals. And you know what? A guy would say, might I call on you sometime? A man and woman might be introduced.
With the proper introduction. Yes.
Okay. And those kinds of things, I believe, if we went back to, Kurt, we actually could receive the blessings of the Almighty, and we might have less divorce in America as a result. I say might kind of in a joke. We would for sure have less of this, right? All right. Kurt's got a wrap-up story on sheriffs. Go.
Well, there's two or three, but the one in a certain county, they made it illegal for sheriffs to wear Western attire, so the one deputy retired right off. But in another piece of news, a cowboy that wasn't wearing any attire strolled down I-75. So that was in the snow, by the way, so I prefer the Western attire.
Well, if that doesn't articulate the divide, I don't know what does. Thanks for being along. Time for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. Tell all your friends to support republicbroadcasting.org and libertyroundtable.com. Would you please? We'd be grateful. And we, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. Will you get involved and help? Hey, thanks.